The typical open rate for an author media email newsletter is between 45 and 50%, which is high, especially for a list without any cleaning in the last couple of years that's over 10,000 subscribers. So, what is the secret? Well, the basic answer is that we try to pack every email with as much valuable information as we can possibly fill, so that you want to open even if the subject doesn't capture your attention. But that is not all. Our secret is that over half of new subscribers join the email list through a webinar. Their first interaction with Author Media is seeing my face and listening to my voice and asking me questions. By the end of the webinar, they know me, they know Author Media, and they want to open emails that come from us. Questions that come in during those webinars help inform future episodes of this podcast. Many new episodes originated as some short answer that I gave to a webinar asker that I decided needed a more robust answer on the podcast. A typical novel marketing podcast will bring in 1 to 5 comments per episode, but the typical webinar brings in 1 to 5 comments per minute. That is over 100 comments over a 40-minute webinar. Between the comments, questions, and polls, hosting a webinar gives me a really great opportunity to get to know you, my audience, better. So you may be wondering, wow, hosting a webinar sounds like a great technique. How can I do that? How can I deliver an entertaining and educational webinar that readers will want to attend? We'll find out in this episode of Novel Marketing, the longest running book marketing podcast in the world. I'm Thomas Umstead Jr., CEO of Author Media, and this is the show for writers who want to build their platform, sell more books, and make a living writing books worth talking about. And don't forget to follow this podcast in your podcast app and like and subscribe for those of you watching on YouTube. And I've been giving webinars online for almost 15 years at this point, so definitely over a decade, and I've learned a lot the hard way. And this is the third in an ongoing series. So I talk about webinars about once a year on this podcast. Part one is how to look and sound professional on Zoom webinars and podcasts. Part two is how to prepare for your first webinar. And this is part three, which is all about the presentation, how to actually deliver a good webinar. And I should point out one more thing before we get started. Webinars tend to work best for nonfiction authors. Novelists are able to make webinars work, but nonfiction authors and course creators tend to have more success with webinars. So this is one of those rare episodes that's a little more geared for our nonfiction listeners. But I think everyone will have some things to learn here. So with all of that out of the way, let's get into the tips. And my first tip is to get in early. If I have a guest for a webinar, we try to get to the green room 30 minutes before the webinar begins. This gives us time to test the audio and video and talk through our plan for the event to make sure that we have the same vision for the webinar and we know who's going to be talking when, etc. The one time you get in late will be the one time the webcam stops working. This is the law of webinars. Almost all webinar issues can be fixed by restarting your computer. But if your computer takes 10 minutes to boot, you'll need to get in early in order to have that time to restart your computer. And your webinar should always start on time. So if you have 100 people waiting 5 minutes for you to start, you've just wasted 500 minutes. That's an entire 8-hour workday destroyed from the economy. If you have 1,000 people at a webinar, that's 2 work weeks wasted, not to mention people will drop out if you don't start on time. So starting your podcast on time is critical. Another tip is to warm up the audience in chat. So before the webinar starts, people will start logging in, and I encourage you to type in questions into the chat to get the attendees chatting with each other and with you. Try to get them to sound off about where they're from and what the weather is like or some other kind of icebreaker question. This helps get them excited, gets them used to interacting with the chat, and it will lead to a better webinar. For me, I typically ask where they're from and what they write, but the question should be something that's relaxed. So something like what their favorite type of ice cream is or what the weather is like where they are. Weather and location are always safe if you don't know what to pick, but for best results, you want to pick something related to your topic. but in a fun way. Okay. Don't ask how much debt are you in? Don't ask how much weight do you want to lose? Even if those questions are related to your topic, this needs to be a question that is fun to answer. It's an icebreaker to start the conversation. You won't be able to interact with the early birds in chat if you're frantically troubleshooting your microphone. So this is all the more reason to get on early. My next tip is to start with a bang. For the sake of the replay, jump straight into the content. Typically with a webinar, you'll have a room full of people waiting for you to get started. And then later, people will watch the replay. So for both of their sakes, don't stall waiting for more people to show up. Don't spend 5 minutes with housekeeping and saying hi to various people that you recognize in the chat. I tried to get through the housekeeping and to my second slide within 60 seconds. I checked my most recent Book Launch Secrets webinar, and I got through the housekeeping about how to vote in the polls, how to vote on questions, how to ask questions. I got through all of that in 51 seconds, and I did it without talking fast. It was just to the point. And then I was off to the races with my opening story. For most topics, the best way to open with a bang is to do what I did, which is to tell a story. Now, the story can be your personal story. I think this is the default for most authors. It could be the story about someone you've helped, or it can be a parable or a fable or something else. Personally, I love opening my talks with either an Aesop fable or a Grimm's fairy tale, because it helps me to connect my modern topic with ancient wisdom. But you'll find something that fits you and your style. The key is to find some kind of story that will capture your audience's interest, that's fun to listen to, and that connects to your topic. Another way to start with a bang is to debunk a commonly believed myth. If you can help someone see something in a new light, it goes a long way in establishing your credibility. It also forces you to be bold in your content, which makes for a more entertaining presentation. After you open with a bang, you want to follow with why. When someone is listening to your talk in real life, it's socially awkward for them to get up and walk out. So you can safely assume that the audience you start with at the beginning of a live presentation will stay till the end. This is not the case with webinars. The web is one click away and no one will know if they left early. Webinars are not like Zoom in that way, which means you've got to convince them to stick around. I recommend spending a couple of minutes after your open with a bang story to talk about why your topic is important. Give attendees an idea of how they will benefit from the presentation. People are about to spend an hour of their life listening to you, and they need to know that what they will get out of spending the hour is worth it. They need to know why they should stick around. They're going to live the rest of their life and die and never get this hour back. So you need to convince them that your presentation is worth them dying 1 hour in order to receive it. The stronger your reason, the higher your audience retention. The next tip is to deliver on your promise. When you came up with the title of this talk and you wrote the description, you made a promise about what people would get out of this talk. And for more on this, listen to that earlier session about how to prepare for your webinar. I go into much more detail about picking your promise. But this is where you are going to deliver on that promise. If you build a reputation for delivering on your promises, people are going to want to continue attending your webinars time after time. If you have a reputation for giving hour-long sales pitches, you will find that it gets harder and harder to get people to your webinars. The next tip is to leave people wanting more. If you listen to the webinar gurus, they will tell you to give away the why, but to sell the what. And there is some value in this approach, but it can burn out your audience if you take it too far, especially over the long run. You don't want your webinars to feel like an hour-long sales pitch, but you also don't want to give away so much information that they feel stuffed. Selling something to someone who already feels overwhelmed with info is like a waiter trying to sell dessert to someone who ate too many bread rolls. Yes, that pie looks amazing, but I couldn't eat another bite. A good webinar is like the sample table at a grocery store. Give people enough of a taste where they're glad they came, but they also want more. As a good rule to help you with this, keep your presentation to ... 40 minutes max. My mom used to help run fundraising banquets for a nonprofit, and her team found that every minute past 9 p.m. that the banquet ran, attendees collectively donated 1,000 fewer dollars. So if the event concluded at 9:15, the nonprofit had 15,000 fewer dollars in donations compared to if they had ended at 9 p.m. sharp. The same principle applies to webinars, except instead of 9 p.m., the magic number is 40. You need to get to your first ask by the 40-minute mark. Every minute you go past the first 40 minutes costs you sales. Now, I can hear you saying, because I know many of you have been to one of my webinars, Thomas, last time I came to one of your webinars, it went for over an hour. And it's true, it did. But if you pay attention or if you watch the replay, you'll notice that I start the pitch for whatever it is that I'm selling between the 40 and 45 minute mark. The pitch typically lasts 5 to 10 minutes, and then it's followed by an extended Q&A. In fact, getting to the questions and answers is the reward for sticking around during the pitch. And I might answer questions for another 40 minutes, depending on audience retention. I'm watching the number of people tuning in live as I'm answering questions, and as it starts to drop, I start to wind things down. At the end of the Q&A, I'll then give another shorter version of the pitch, reminding people to sign up now, and then I'll close with a story, a power close. So I don't ever end with Q&A, because that is not a good way to end it. Depending on the question, the final question could be a terrible way to end it, especially if the question is really technical or esoteric. Here is my kind of template for webinars, and I'll put this template on the blog version of this episode, which you can find at authormedia.com/415. This is just to give you something to adapt from, but I try to open with 1 minute of housekeeping. Then I have 4 minutes of to start with a bang story, 5 minutes of why, 25 minutes of deliver on your promise presentation, a 5 minute sales pitch, followed by 15 minutes of Q&A, followed by a 1 minute reminder sales pitch, followed by 4 minutes of close with a bang story. That brings you to a total of 60 minutes, and that will be a really tight, really beneficial, but also very powerful formula. My next tip is to practice. It may be impossible to get through all of your material in 40 minutes the first time. So practice. The more you practice your talk, the fewer ums and uhs you will have, the cleaner and clearer your sentences will be, and the better your delivery will be overall. You can practice alone on your computer or in the living room for your family. I find that if I can hold my kids' attention with a talk about something they don't care about, I might be able to hold the attention of a busy, distracted adult who has the whole internet in front of them. However you do it, do it. Practice is the only path to professionalism. The next tip or secret of effective webinars is to look at the camera. The more practiced you are with the presentation, the less you need to look at your notes. The less you look at your notes, the more you can look at the camera. What made the big difference for me looking at the camera was getting the Elgato prompter. This is a $300 teleprompter that has been a game changer for me. And the reason that it's so much better than all of the other more expensive teleprompters is because I can put my keynote presenter notes on the teleprompter or the webinar itself so I can see the guest rather than just having a script, which is what all the other teleprompters on the market provide. Being able to see people or see my keynote presenter notes allows me to have a more off-the-cuff delivery style while still looking at the camera. It is one of the best investments I have ever made in the quality of my presentations. The next tip is to add a call to action button. Most webinar platforms have a call to action button that you can add just below the video. And this takes people to a page where they can take the next step. For me, that's typically a landing page to sign up for a course. But for you, it may be your books page on Amazon. Some platforms will even automatically take everyone who is at the webinar watching live to the call to action button destination once the webinar concludes. Another secret, powerful secret to success is to add testimonials. Customer testimonials can make or break a webinar. I hosted an affiliate webinar with Alana Terry about how to make money as an author's assistant. She's got a course teaching that, and she sent me her slides ahead of time, and my one suggestion for her was to add a testimonial. So she did. She told the story of an author who was struggling financially and who became an author's assistant. She went through her program, and now she was making a good, steady income as an author's assistant, and it was steady enough that she was able to buy a house. Alana showed a picture of the house, and everyone was sold. It also helped that the lady in question had attended the webinar live and was interacting with folks in the chat. And that's even more powerful if the people who've benefited from whatever it is that you're selling are there live sharing their stories in the chat in addition to your testimonials there in the webinar. Finally, I would add a power close. I try to start my webinars with a bang, with that power opening, and I also try to conclude them with a bang, even if we had a long Q&A session. And so the way that I do this is with that pre-prepared power close we were talking about earlier. For best results, connect it with the opening and give people a final call to action. Those are my tips on how to make your webinar better from a delivery perspective. But there's another piece of engaging webinars, which is the engagement. So how do you boost live interaction? How do you keep your webinar attendees there on the screen rather than switching the tab and going and browsing on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or Reddit or all of the other places they could be right now? How do you keep them focused on the video? Well, the answer is the chat. You want to have a chat ally. The bigger your webinar, the more people you'll have attending, and the more likely you'll have somebody out in the country on an internet connection that just can't handle live, unbuffered video streams. These people will make a lot of noise in the chat asking for tech support, and they are thinking that it's not working for everyone, when in reality, it's just their bad Wi-Fi. So whatever you do, do not talk to these people in the webinar. Tech supporting one person ruins the webinar experience for the 99 people not having technical issues. This tech support challenge, you want to help. But the way you do it is with your ally. This is a fellow author or a friend or an employee who's in the chat who can help that one person refresh their browser, click play, click unmute, restart their computer, or the various other things that they may need help with. Usually it's one of those things. They just need to unmute. They need to refresh or restart their computer, solves most problems. If you have troubles with trolls or spammers, you may want to give that ally moderation powers to delete unwanted comments. Another way to help engage your attendees in the chat is to ask them questions. As the webinar goes on, even if you are engaging and interesting and have great slides, some people will just drift away to other tabs. The temptation of the internet is just too great. So you want to bring them back. And one way to do that is to ask them a question that they have to go back to the webinar screen in order to answer. If you ask an open-ended question that requires a paragraph to answer, they will stop listening to type up the answer. So that's not good. And you will then stop talking to read the answer. So instead, you want to focus on questions that can be answered in a single word. So an either or a yes, no type question works best. So for example, do you drive an electric car? Yes or no? Or what kind of phone do you have? iPhone or Android? So don't use these specific examples. Make the question related to your topic. The more that you engage your audience, the more active they will be. If you look at your chat log, and if you see a graph of when the chat was most active, the number one most active time is anytime you ask the question, can you hear me? Which is a temptation anytime you're troubleshooting somebody in the chat. And if I do see somebody having trouble in the chat with the internet, I'll just say, if you can hear me, type in the chat, and then I'll get a zillion responses. It brings everybody back from Facebook. Another way to help engage your attendees live is to answer their questions. This is part of the fun of a live webinar, is the interactivity where people are typing questions and you are answering those questions. This adds a lot of value, not only to the person who asked the question, but to everyone else curious about the same thing. It makes the webinar more dynamic, and it makes it different every time you present the webinar. I just got through webinar season. I did like a dozen webinars for the Book Lunch Blueprint, and the Q&A section at the end was different every time. And I'll have people listen to the same webinar multiple times just because that Q&A is different at the end. I also try to respond to comments. And this is the next tip, is to respond to comments. It's tricky to both present and read comments as they come in. But from time to time, I'll check the comments and maybe select one to respond to. And I'll respond live on camera. I don't type a response into the chat. This makes the chat more dynamic, and it encourages people to leave more comments, which keeps them on the screen. Speaking of the screen, the next tip is to bring the attendees on screen. Bringing an attendee on screen adds a level of risk and uncertainty, but it makes the webinar more exciting to watch, right? Nothing keeps people engaged quite like a little bit of danger. Plus, the attendee can become an avatar for the audience, asking clarifying questions and giving you focus as you present. When someone is waiting to come on screen, their heart is racing, their adrenaline is rushing, and they are paying more attention. Then they will benefit more from your presentation because of it. You may not be nervous, but your attendee probably is, and this will benefit them. No one falls asleep while waiting to go live on a webinar. Nobody clicks to another tab. So that is how to keep your audience engaged. Before we go, though, I want to talk a little bit about follow-up. Once the webinar concludes, your work is not done. The first thing you want to do is make the replay available. Not everyone will be able to attend live, so make sure the replay is easily watched. Crowdcast is really good at this. This is the platform that I use, and the link for the live event is also the link for the replay. But other platforms make you jump through hoops, and Zoom is particularly a hassle when it comes to replays. The next step is to tag your attendees. So before I import people into my email list, I'll create a tag in ConvertKit for that specific webinar. This allows me to see which webinars subscribers have attended, but more importantly, it allows me to email just the people who attended that specific webinar. What do I email them? I email them a replay link. Even though Crowdcast has, it's the same link as before, most people don't know that. Most people are still thinking like a Zoom user where they need a special link to view the replay. And so instead of trying to change their thinking, I just send them an email with the replay link. It was the same link they got before. The longer I wait to send this email, the more I get bombarded with replay link requests. And I will say the open rate for this email is typically the highest open rate I'll ever have on any kind of email. I checked my last replay link email that I sent, and it had a 77.7% open rate. So more than 3 out of 4 people who registered for the webinar opened the replay link email. So it's really a powerful email to send. And typically I'll have one paragraph thanking them for coming, a link to the replay, and then a paragraph about whatever it is I'm selling with a link for them to learn more about that product. It's a very simple email. It has a really high open rate and a really high click-through rate. I really enjoy webinars. They work really well for me, and I love the interaction that it gives me with my audience. And if you have not tried webinars, you should give it a shot. You may find that you enjoy it as well. Our featured patron is Michelle Levine, author of InQuest, the AFE Defender, Book 4. Join the fearless crew of the AFE Defender, a legendary ship known for their daring adventures and unbreakable bond. But when strange signals from the edges of charted space lead them on a mission with the notorious InQuest, their luck may finally run out. As they race across the galaxy to uncover the source of the mysterious signals, they must also navigate the dangerous reputation of their new partners. With every step closer to the truth, they realize they may be facing an enemy unlike anything they've encountered before. InQuest AFE Defender Book 4 is a thrilling sci-fi adventure that will keep you at the edge of your seat. Michelle Levine, thank you so much for being a patron. Thank you for your financial support that keeps this podcast on the air. I could not do this without you. The Novel Marketing Podcast is a production of AuthorMedia.com. Our audio engineer is William Umstadt. The blogifier is Shauna Lettler. And you can find the blog version of this episode at AuthorMedia.com/415. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr. saying thank you for listening, and live long and prosper.